With that prayer in our hearts, we do turn now to God's holy word, which is the bread of life, and which reveals to us he who is the bread of life. Matthew chapter 8. We're back in Matthew, and we'll be for a while, Lord willing. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, page 813 or 1033, if you're following along in a pew Bible. Hear now the word of God. When he had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." This is God's holy and inerrant word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Heavenly Father, we have sung it, and we meant it. We need you to break the bread of life to us. We need you to feed us with your word and to feed us with Christ. Both as we hear from your word and as we partake of your table, we want to see and savor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we might be touched by him and transformed by your grace through him, and we might live evermore and more for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Question for you. If you could see Jesus face to face, and you had 30 seconds of his undivided attention to ask him for one thing, what would it be? Larry King was asked this question. And he actually said that he would ask one question of Jesus, and that is, "Were you virgin born?" Because he said, on that question hangs all of truth and reality and human history, which is interesting. But if you could ask Jesus for one thing, what would it be? Here we see Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and so he's coming down from the mountain, followed by great crowds who had been astonished by his teaching, and a leper comes into his path. And this leper gets that. He gets Jesus face to face, his undivided attention, and for 30 seconds he has time to make one request. And he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Well, before we look any further at this passage, there's a couple of questions that are raised by this situation. The first question is, what is a leper? We hear that a lot, but what does it actually mean? What is leprosy? What was this man dealing with? And the second is what I think is an interesting question, and that is, why does he ask Jesus to make him clean instead of to heal him? Is that the same thing? Or is it a different kind of request that shows a different heart? Well, we'll begin with that first question. What is leprosy? This man, he's a leper, he has leprosy. Leprosy manifests itself as a skin disease. It's sometimes said to be an infectious skin disease, or sometimes you'll hear it referred to as a variety of infectious skin diseases. But it's actually caused by a bacterium which has been identified. And it's a bacterium that attacks the nervous system directly, and the skin is only then affected indirectly. See, what happens, and this disease was very prevalent in the ancient world, is not nearly as prevalent today. It is found in some places today. It's found in places where there's a lot of abject poverty, where there's poor sanitary conditions. But in the ancient world, it was a very common disease that was widespread throughout the world. Leprosy attacks the nervous system, and it causes its victims to not be able to feel, to not have the sensation of pain. Well, what happens to your flesh when the nerves to your flesh die off? Is that the communication system to your flesh dies, and then your flesh begins to rot and die. So, once the flesh is affected, the body rots, and it typically starts in the extremities and then moves into the core. But it's not uncommon for lepers to have fingers that just fall off, or toes that fall off, or an ear that falls off, or part of their nose to fall off. Most of the harm that lepers suffer comes from the fact that they cannot feel pain in their extremities. And some of the research that's gone into leprosy has highlighted how important it is for us to be able to be sensitive, to be able to feel pain. For example, some lepers have fallen asleep and have woken up in the morning to find that their fingers have been chewed off by rats. And they didn't even feel the pain to wake up. Leprosy is a very serious disease. It is incurable, at least in the ancient times. And it was something that is not highly contagious, but is contagious, because it's caused by a bacterium. There is a way to spread that bacterium through prolonged, continued contact. And so, because it's a very serious disease, and because it's infectious, God set up laws in the Old Testament to manage leprosy. And there are lots of laws in the Old Testament regarding various forms of leprosy. And basically, the bottom line of it is that a leper was considered to be unclean, particularly if the leprosy manifested itself in an open sore on the skin. That leper was considered to be unclean, because then that disease was contagious. Well, someone who was unclean could not worship together with God's people and could not even really live with God's people, but had to live in a separate place outside of the city walls or outside of the camps of God's people. Now, here's what's interesting about leprosy. There were lots of things in the Old Testament law that would make people unclean. If you touched a dead body, either of a human being or an animal, you were unclean. If you had blood that flowed from you for whatever reason, you had a cut, you had a sore, you're female, you would be unclean while you had an issue of blood. You could be unclean after giving birth. So there were lots of things that would make you unclean, but almost all of them, you see, were temporary. Touch a dead body, you're unclean for like 7 days. Have an emission of blood, you're unclean until it's stopped. So it's the kind of thing that when you're unclean just for a short period of time, and then you can be examined and pronounced clean again, and you can restore your life of fellowship and worship. But, you know, the problem with leprosy is you're unclean for life. Once you're a leper, you are unclean. And so you become permanently, physically, and socially isolated from everybody else. In fact, by the time of Jesus' day, lepers dressed in black, they wore hoods to cover their faces because leprosy would disfigure the face and make them very horrible to look at. And everywhere they went, they would have to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And you know that the people would just back away. It's like the waters would part before them. Try to think of what it was like to live then as a leper. You were permanently unclean. You had to pronounce everywhere you went your uncleanness. And nobody looked at you, much less touched you. Now add to that human sin and human nature. And lepers were not only unclean and isolated, but they didn't really receive pity for being so. They received hatred and scorn. You were a leper. You were despised in The theocracy of Israel, most people thought that if you were a leper, it was because you were a great sinner and God's wrath was coming upon you. In India today, where about half of the diagnosed cases of leprosy every day are in India, or every year in India, they have Hinduism. Almost all lepers come from the untouchable class, which is the caste below the caste system. You have to get your mindset around Hinduism because, you know, in America, with New Age spirituality, people think that Hinduism is cool and hip and whatever. But Hinduism has a very fixed caste system. And they say that the castes in India refer, you know, correspond to the parts of the gods. The Brahmin, who are the leaders, the priests, and the people at the top, the most educated and wealthiest, they're the head of the god. There's four other castes, which are the other parts of the gods going down to the feet. And then in India, there are 300 million people, same as the population of the United States, who are below the caste system. They're considered untouchable. They're called the Dalit. And in Hinduism, they are the dirt under the feet of the gods. This is not a politically correct, enlightened religion. Okay. 300 million people are considered really subhuman because they're not even part of the divine nature. They're the dust under the feet. Now 150,000 people a year, approximately, are diagnosed with leprosy. They almost all come from that underclass, and they are the underclass of the underclass. Okay, they're like the maggots that are below the dirt. They are despised. They are hated. Even their children cannot get any kind of decent education, even though there's public education in India, even though officially there's no discrimination against people based on the caste system. The reality for children of lepers in India is that they have no hope because they have parents who are very poor. Their parents' occupation is to beg. And they have to beg all day long just to get enough to eat. So they can't support their children in any meaningful way. And their children, if they do go to school, and it is found out that they are a child of a leper, it is not uncommon for the teacher to just sit them in the corner and ignore them. Because why would you waste your breath trying to teach the child of a leper? Obviously, they can't learn anything. Sociologists who have studied leprosy have said that in every place in the world where there have been lepers, they have been despised. They've been hated. And so you have leprosy, you are unclean, you are isolated, you are rejected, you are hated. That is what it means to be a leper. But this leper was bold. Because this leper probably had been on the outskirts of the crowd, had heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount, had heard this great teaching coming from him, and he decided that he had to get to Jesus. So although there was a great crowd following Jesus, and although he was clothed in his leper's garments and nobody wanted to have anything to do with him, he got to Jesus. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." I want you to see the profound faith that it took for him to say that. Because leprosy was an absolutely incurable disease in ancient times. There are a couple of cases of people being cured of leprosy and it was a miracle. One of the most famous is Naaman, who was the commander of the Aramean army in the days of Elisha. So he's over in Aram. He's an enemy of God's people. And he hears through his servant girl that there is a prophet in Israel, Elisha, who is able to do great miracles by the power of God. He sees this as his only hope of getting cured of his leprosy. And so he goes to Israel, and he goes to Samaria, and he goes to the capital, and he goes into the palace, and he sends word to the king. He doesn't come in because he's unclean or he's diseased. And he sends word to the king that says, "I'm here to have you cure me of my leprosy." You know how the king responded to that? The king, this is in 2 Kings chapter 5, the king of Israel tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" In other words, the king of Israel says, "He's asking me to raise the dead. It's impossible." And he goes on to say, "Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." He thought this guy was coming in here with an impossible request so that the king of Israel would have to reject him and say, "I'm sorry, I can't cure you of your leprosy." And then it would give him a pretext for war, and he would make war on the Israelites and sack them. That's how impossible it is. The king just says, "This is, you might as well ask me to raise the dead." But this bold leper comes to Jesus and says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Notice what he's most concerned with. He's not most concerned with his health, his well-being, the length of his life. He's most concerned with being clean so that he can worship God and fellowship with God's people. That's what's on his heart. He wants to be able to approach God in worship. How does Jesus respond? Here's this unclean, isolated, rejected, hated leper. How does Jesus respond? The first thing we're told that he does, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That's powerful. Before we're told what Jesus says, we're told that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. From the day that man found out that he had leprosy, he had probably not been touched by another human being. Because to touch a leper is to do two things. It is, number one, to become unclean yourself for at least a period of time. And the second thing is, it is to risk contracting the disease. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. Reminds me of Father Damien. When Shane was here for the missions conference in the Sunday school class, he shared the story of Father Damien. So most of you have probably heard it, but it bears repeating. Father Damien was a Catholic priest who wanted to go and minister to a leper colony in Molokai. Molokai is an island in the Hawaiian island chain, just off the shore of the most populous island. Father Damien wanted to go administer to the lepers. They thought for sure, I mean, it's a leper colony, the whole island is a leper colony. They thought for sure he's going to get there, he's going to last a week maybe. In fact, the people who took him on the ship would not even take him all the way to shore. They kind of got, you know, to shallow water and anchored. And basically told him, "See ya." The captain of the ship offered to stay there and anchor for a week in case Father Damien wanted to come back out. Father Damien said, "No, you go." Father Damien, when he first got there, he resolved that he wanted to show the love of Christ to the lepers. He wanted to minister to their needs, but he was not going to touch them because he didn't want to risk contracting the leprosy. And so he ministered among them for a period of time, teaching them, making sure their schools were set up so that they could be educated, working with some of the nurses who were there, who were working with them. But he would not touch the lepers because he didn't want to contract the disease himself. Until one day he realized that he was not going to be able to share the love of Christ with them without touching them. And so at first he was just comforting the grieving by putting his arm around them. And then he got to the point where he would get down and clean the leper's sores. When he did that, he saw his breakthrough. And the lepers received the love of Christ from him, literally in his physical touch. And a great number of them, he began leper choirs that would gather together and sing. And One day, December of 1884, after he had been working with the lepers for 16 years, Father Damien was preparing his bath, and he accidentally stepped his foot into scalding water. And he looked down in horror as he realized his foot was blistering from the scalding water, but he felt no pain. He had contracted the disease that he had touched. He continued to minister. 5 years later, he passed away at the age of 49. Father Damien was originally buried in Molokai at the leper colony. But in 1936, Belgium, which was his native country, requested that his body be exhumed and be sent back to Belgium for burial in his home country. So the people of Molokai honored the request and sent him back. Then later, Father Damien was made a saint in the Catholic Church. And when that happened, the people at Molokai requested that one part of Father Damien's body be sent back to be buried in his original grave at the leper colony. And it was the remains of his right hand with which he had touched them. You see, Jesus is setting us an example here that you cannot show love without touching those who are in distress. You gotta get your hands dirty. Only Jesus is so powerful that he's the only person in the world who could touch a leper and not be made unclean. You gotta get your mind around that. Even Elisha, when Naaman came to him for healing, what did he do? He didn't touch him. He sent him to the Jordan River to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Jesus is the only person who's ever lived who could touch a leper and not be made unclean, but whose touch could make the leper clean. In fact, in the Gospels, we have record of Jesus either touching or being touched by people who fall into every category of uncleanness. And in every single case, Jesus was never made unclean. He always made that person clean. That's when he raised the dead, when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. He made the unclean clean. Jesus didn't just stretch out his hand, though. He also spoke. And though he only said 4 words in our English Bible, what he said says it all. He said, "I will be clean." First 2 words, "I will," show the love of Jesus, his compassion. The second 2 words show the power of Jesus. He is willing and able to save this man. And then Jesus gives the leper a very curious command. This next part, you're almost going along and saying, "Wow, this is great, this is great." And then verse 4 comes along and Jesus says, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." What? Why is Jesus? I mean, I thought, this is what I've always been told. If Jesus works in your life, if Jesus touches your soul and makes you clean, you go and you tell everybody about it, right? Jesus said, "Tell no one." Why did he say that? Did he want it to be a secret? I don't think it's because he wanted it to be a secret. I mean, this was a publicly witnessed miracle that had lots and lots of eyewitnesses. But you see, if the first words Jesus spoke, "I will be clean," show the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus, these words show the wisdom of Jesus. Because here's what Jesus knew about the reality of human hearts. If that leper had gone to Jerusalem, which is where he needed to go to get examined by the priests, and all along the way was saying, "Jesus touched me and made me clean. Jesus touched me and made me clean." You know what would happen to him by the time he got to Jerusalem? The priests would either have refused to examine him, or they would have lied and said he was still unclean. That's what would have happened. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus wanted this man to not have his cleansing short-circuited by human sin. And so in wisdom, he tells him, "Don't tell anybody anything. You just go straight to Jerusalem. Don't tell them who you are. Don't tell them who touched you. Don't tell them where you came from. Just get examined and then offer the gift. And obviously after that, he then went around telling people, because I think the word spread pretty widely. But Jesus is loving, Jesus is powerful, and Jesus is wise. And that brings us down to today. What about lepers today? Do we still have lepers in our world today? Well, technically, when it comes to the disease leprosy, we do. And we still have an obligation to minister to them. One way that we're doing that as a church is kind of through our connection to the India-Sri Lanka partnership. But you individually can do more if you want to. PCA through MTW has a home in northern India called the Children's Home. It's in Bhogpur, northern India. And Anne Shuford has with her today, in the providence of God, information about the Bhogpur Children's Home. And what the Children's Home is, it's a children's home for children of lepers. So over 400 children live there, and their parents are lepers who are in leper colonies. And these children are being given an education and a future. And many of them grow up to serve in the medical profession. And so they rise to a professional class within India, and they come to know the love of Jesus through the personal ministry of those who are there. And I've heard stories about a couple of the teachers. One of them might be Kathy, I don't know, but I heard these stories at an ISLP meetings a couple weeks ago. And that is that a couple of these teachers, the children get 3 weeks every summer when they can go back and be at the leper colony with their parents. Because the reality is, in order to contract leprosy, you really need to be around it for a long, long, long period of time. And so 3 weeks a year is actually pretty safe. But if the children were to stay in the colony and be raised there, they would have a much higher likelihood of catching it. So they get 3 weeks a year to go home and be with their parents. And a couple of the teachers, who are PCA missionaries, this past summer went with them and stayed in the leper colony. One of them picked up a nice infestation of lice while she was there. But they went and they slept where the lepers slept, and they ate what the lepers ate for 3 weeks to show them the love of Jesus. And we can partner with them through MTW. But here's the reality. Spiritually, we are all lepers. Spiritually, the whole world is a leper colony. Because in our natural condition, we are unclean in the eyes of God. We are not fit to enter His presence and worship Him. We are unclean. We are also insensitive by nature. Our spiritual nervous system is dead. And so by nature, we are not convicted when we sin. We don't respond to righteousness. We're as dead as the fingers of the lepers that get chewed off by rats, spiritually speaking, in our natural state. Jesus is the only one who is willing, who is able to touch and cleanse our leprosy. And what we need to believe is that if we cry out to Him in faith, like that leper, He can and He will cleanse us of all of our leprosy. There's actually two kinds of leprosy, which I think is just remarkable considering the illustration that I can make to our spiritual lives. There's a systemic leprosy where it's the bacterial infection is moving throughout your bloodstream and you've just got it and there's no hope for you. But then there's also a leprosy that can get into isolated areas of your body and can infect just parts of you. And that part these days can be cleansed and can be cured. And I look at it this way. Before we come to Christ, all of us have systemic leprosy. All of us are just head to toe shot through with leprosy. We're without hope, unclean, and cut off from God's presence. But even after we come to Christ, we can still have leprous spots in our lives, can't we? Areas where our consciences have been hardened against the Lord, areas where we're in willful sin and we're not repentant, areas where we're not we're not responsive to God, Jesus can touch those and make those clean as well. So for the unbeliever who has never come to Christ, for the believer who loves the Lord but who knows that there's areas in your life where you're just not right with God, Jesus is willing and He is able to cleanse the leper. If you'll cry out to Him by faith, even this morning, He will heal you. But there's one other reality we need to see, and that is, because the whole earth is a leper colony, there are lepers all around us. And by this I mean that there are people in our community, people in our lives, people in our neighborhood, who because of things in their lives are regarded by the world as being unclean, unlovely, ugly, worthless, hated. They may be a drug addict, an alcoholic, prostitute, a homosexual. They may have scandal in their lives. But whatever it is, they are cut off from at least part of the world that looks down at them and says, you are unclean and you are unfit for fellowship. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Will we reach out to them and touch them, risking getting dirty by entering into their world with the compassion of Christ that says, Jesus is willing, you can be clean if you call upon Him by faith. So, this is what we need to think about when we come to the Lord's table. We need to think about the fact that we need the cleansing power of Jesus. We have no hope apart from it. But we need to also think about the fact that we need to spiritually feed upon Christ so that we can go and be His body to the world around us this week. Let's pray. Father, how we need You. Lord Jesus, how we need Your touch. Through Your Holy Spirit, You can make us clean. You can deal with us in those areas of sin that we have closed off from You and have held on to for far too long. You can make us clean, and You can use us to touch others with Your love. As You use Father Damien, as You're using the Bogport Children's Home, Father, You can use us. And so we pray. We pray, Father, that You would cleanse our hearts, that You would deal with those areas of our lives that need to be cleansed, and that You would use us as Your instruments of redemption in this world. And we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.